We've really made it through the main essence of the doctrine of justification. Now we have a number of items to address, shorter scale. First of all, I wanted to set before you a little bit about the Reformation view. You know that the Christological and Trinitarian controversies dominated the ancient church, and the first serious engagement with the doctrine of justification wasn't undertaken until the 4th century by, of course, the pen of Augustine. But even he did not devolve too deeply into the issue, and it was left to, in God's providence, Martin Luther to discover the essence of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Luther viewed justification after his personal breakthrough in the 15-teens as the central backbone of the church. In his experience, he saw that the righteousness Paul had in mind in Romans 1 was not a punitive righteousness, which condemns sinners, but a perfect salvific righteousness, which God freely grants to sinners on the basis of Christ's merits. And sinners receive that righteousness by faith. And for Luther, this became the heart of the gospel. And he said, it became for me an open door into paradise and a gate into heaven. Luther said, as a mother hen covers her chicks with her wings and brings them all under her, so God covers us with the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we live by what Luther called an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes from outside of us, even from Christ. No one could possibly merit this, but that righteousness is our foundation even as we go on still remaining sinners in ourselves. You know his famous Latin statement, simul justus et peccator. We're righteous and at the same time we're sinners. In principle we're righteous, but in practice we're still bent to backsliding. So Luther distinguished between an inward righteousness and an outward righteousness. He said the inward righteousness is born of God in justification by faith alone. And the outward righteousness is that which is manifest to others through works of love. And of course here, when we deal with justification, we're talking about what Luther called the inward righteousness, our standing with God. It was Luther, of course, that said that this article is the head and cornerstone of the church, which alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, or protects the church. Without justification by faith alone, the church of God cannot subsist one hour. I'm sure you've heard that quote before. So, justification by faith among the Reformers came to be called the article of the standing or falling church. In other words, if you believe that, your church will stand. If you don't believe that, your church will disintegrate and fall. But we can go a step further, can't we, and say, really, this article is not only of the standing or falling church, but also of the standing or falling Christian. When this is not embraced and understood, then we don't stand as solid Christians in the midst of this world. Now, John Calvin added a bit to this discussion. Calvin, too, saw the centrality of justification. He called it the principle of the whole doctrine of salvation and the foundation of all religion. Quote, the principle of the whole doctrine of salvation and the foundation of all religion. Luther developed it even more clearly than Calvin and really put his focus on the idea of imputation, that Christ's righteousness is reckoned to my account as a believer. Did I say Luther? Sorry, Calvin. So Calvin stressed a bit more scholastically than Luther that the material side, or the material cause, I should say, the material cause of justification is, of course, the entire obedience of Christ, active and passive, in his life and death. And the instrumental cause is faith. Faith is the instrument. And therefore, faith must be viewed apart from all works or any personal merit. Faith is a receiving. Now, when faith receives the imputed righteousness of Christ, then God's face turns to the sinner, and every obstacle to reconciliation is removed. Forgiveness of sins are received, and the gift of eternal life is given. Now, this Reformation doctrine, which is really what distinguished the Reformers from the Forerunners, why the Forerunners aren't called Reformers, is because they didn't have this clarity that Luther and Calvin developed. But this clarity was perpetuated onwards into the Reformed confessions. And you can look at each confession. In fact, you can look at the Reformed confessions harmonized and look at justification by faith. You can see it right across the board in all the Reformed confessions, a real clear exposition of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Let me just read you the shorter catechism only at this point. You can look up the others yourself. Question 33, shorter catechism. What is justification? Notice how every word here is packed. And just in three lines, what I've just said is just succinctly summarized. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins, and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ, comma, imputed to us, comma, and received by faith alone. Now, the Westminster Confession itself develops that more largely in chapter 11, paragraph 1, to which I refer you. And, of course, the Heidelberg Catechism deals with it, as we well know, particularly in Lord's Day 23. Well, that's just a bit about the historical development.